Jai Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Prakachara Sisi Mahari Divine Grace Iskand Founder Chad Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Prakachara Sisi Mahari Divine Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Sri Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavuni Sananda Sri Dvaita Gurhasi Vasudhi Go Bhakti Vindaki Jai Sri Radha Krishna Sama Sumara Kuni Kiri Kavadana Ki
Jai
Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai
Matoya Dham Ki
Jai
Navareb Dham Ki
Jai
Jamuna Mai Ki
Jai
Ganga Mai Ki
Jai
Talasi Devi Ki
Jai
Bhakti Devi Ki
Jai
Samaveda Bhakti Vindaki
Jai
All glory to Sama Devotee
Krishna
all glory to Sama Devotee all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Guru
Jai
Om Maganath Miran Yasta Kyanajana Shilakshaya Shakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Namo Vistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupakada Mayam Dirati Sapadanti Kam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasraya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesva Sundivari Paskachade Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama In a short while, we're going to greet the Lord upstairs. And there's Linda, Artik, and Prasadam. But let me share a few things. But it's interesting how we're having a deity installation. So we bring the deities down, and their eyes are covered, and then we are looking at them and they're looking at us. When we take the darshan of the deity, actually, we are the ones who are being seen. at our temples and in many of your homes. You have deities and you perform puja every day, hopefully. And you are fixed in trying to prepare certain arrangements for the glorification of the Lord. The temples we come at different times, 7:30, 7:15 in some temples. And we greet the Lord, because in Mangalartik or other times of Sundarartik. And so we are watching how the divine couple, or Krishna in his various manifestations, how he is receiving a particular service. First, we understand that Krishna is Atmaram, so he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need to be fed, he doesn't need to be dressed, he doesn't need to be put to sleep. But all over the world, where there are mandirs and temples, and where people have the Lord in their homes, preaching centers, etc., that we are literally anxious about trying to do some services for Krishna. So it seems almost contradictory that we're trying so hard to do things comprehensively, meticulously, timely for one who doesn't need anything. Some of you have children, and you know the awesome task in making many arrangements for your children, especially when they're very small. You are thinking of them, you are trying to do certain things, because if you don't do it, perhaps it will not get done. And one is thinking that way. That is love. The father doesn't think, well, maybe mother will do it, maybe the next door neighbor will take care of it, maybe the teacher, maybe some stranger will just see my child needs a pair of shoes and buy them a pair of shoes. No, the parent is thinking that he or she is to do it so that it will be done. So normally, we are very meticulous in doing something for someone, especially when they're very needy. You have to be that much more absorbed considering their well-being. But here we are serving one who owns everything, controlling everything. Everything is resting upon him. But at the same time, the epitome of one's proper consciousness is to be so absorbed in trying to arrange things for Krishna. Well, that is the mystery and the adventure of animated love, is that Krishna is pretending to be helpless. Sometimes lovers do like that, huh? They pretend to be so much in need just to draw the attention of their beloved. And so by such, It sends out a call. Come, come. Be with me. Arrange things. So Krishna is not needing anything. But all over in the universe, he is arranging. As his descendant in his Archa Vigraha, so that his beloved part and parcel can regain their full blissful consciousness. As we focus on trying to do something as if the Lord is in need. And so one aspect of the Archa Vigraha is that the conditioned soul, conditioned living entities, are like a massive display of people who are having amnesia. Someone has amnesia. They are someone, but they have forgotten who they are. They've forgotten where they've come from. They've forgotten who they are related to. They've forgotten how to do many things that previously were quite natural and organic. And so often, certain sounds, views, certain environments, certain associations help that person who has lost his or her memory to begin to regain it. So one of the ways how Krishna facilitates this mental madness is that he allows, through the mercy of his pure agent, representative of the spiritual world, to help the conditioned soul who are in a crazed state to begin to practice putting him in the center so that we begin to regain our genuine, wholesome consciousness where everything is centered around the Lord and everything is being fully supported and fully complementary as Krishna and his divine consort is the center. So the process of Krishna consciousness is really to fall back in love with the divine couple, to fall back in love with the residents of the spiritual world, to begin to love ourselves authentically by realizing who we in fact really are and how much we have forgotten and put our higher awareness on hold. So because that's difficult, it's like if you've been to a mental institution. So sometimes you find that people have taken on all kinds of unusual roles. Somebody is thinking unequivocally that they are Napoleon. Somebody is thinking that they are Jesus. Someone is thinking that they are Mahatma Gandhi. Someone is thinking that they are Prince somebody, Prince Charming. And they're thinking that everyone else knows it or should know it. And they are moving about in the spirit that that's who they are. And they're in confinement, an institution, they're looking around and thinking all of this is their kingdom. And so sometimes we just confront that person. Hey, you are not Jesus. You are not the King of England or the Queen of England. The person will just think, you are mad. It's a mad person. They do not know who I am. So sometimes to help such person, the therapist or the friend has to kind of go along with the role, the Ras for a while, where the person is accepting that other individual so that there can be some gradual communication and there can be some support, of a facilitation where the person gradually begins to realize one day, I'm really not Napoleon. I don't have any soldiers. I'm really not the Queen of England. I don't even have any gold, any silver. I only have diamonds. I only have cut glass rings. So they begin to realize after a while that this is illusion. So Krishna is so kind. He sends the great Acharya, the Acharyavan Purushaveda, the Nitya Siddhas, the most highly elevated entity. They come into these realms of confusion and madness. And they take on human-like qualities, engage in human-like activities, while they are finding amazing ways to help to revitalize as many people as who will be receptive, and as many people to the degree that they really want to be out, come out of the illusion. Most people really have no desire to come out of the illusion. But there are some people who are prisoners, and they've been in prison for so long, they're afraid to be paroled. Because their whole support system, their whole culture, and their identity has to do with the lifestyle of the institution. So there are some people who, when they get released, they go to the nearest store, take a brick, break the window, and stand there. When the police come, they say, I did it. Just so they can go back, have food, have a bed, and in an environment where they know the rules in terms of they have some survival skills. So there are many living entities who, even when having chance to know Atmavidya or self-realization, consciously as well as unconsciously, they do not desire to leave the prison house. And so they will find reasons, or they will accept genuine reasons, not to progress any farther. We say genuine because there are so many things that one can look at and consider, this is why I should stop engaging in my spiritual pursuits. And these things are real. They identify some of the problems, but they do not justify one cheating themselves from continuing the royal path of bhakti. So there's nothing that justifies anyone not trying to reach perfection. There's nothing that justifies anyone not trying to serve the Lord. You may have problems with your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, have problems with your temple commander, have problems with your congregational leader, you may have problems with all kinds of things. But those are realities. Temporary realities, part of the prison house. We really want something bad. We plan, think about it until we get it. Someone sees it, just the kind of computer that they really can understand is just what they need. They don't have the money for it. You go window shopping or mall shopping or computer shopping, computer store, and they see this computer and they're thinking about it and they're arranging to save some funds and thinking, I'm only needing this much more and it's mine. And because it is something that they really want, they plan, they strategize for it. Mother sees this gorgeous sari. And she's thinking, that sari is just for me. The seamstress just knew exactly the color, the style of print that I love. It was made for me. And she is thinking, but it is so expensive. But her mind starts working. Well, it could take a couple of months of salvaging some of my salary or getting some funds from some place, and I will have it. And she's already visualizing herself with that sari on. It's only a matter of time now that's separating her from having that cloth on. And there's so many situations where when there is something that's very important for us, we do not let any obstacles, that are the real obstacles, we do not let them check us. Because we want that. And we plan for it and around it to see that it becomes on. If on Common Square tomorrow, if it was announced over the radio that from 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, anyone who comes will receive $20,000. As long as they come, as long as they don't come before 9, and they don't come after 12 o'clock. So you got a 3-hour span for a person to be able to receive their $20,000. What do you think would happen? Would someone say, well, Babu, you know, I'm sleepy today, and I don't think I can have the energy to go there. Would someone say, Babu, you know, my car is not working, and so I have no way to get there. Would someone say, you know, today it's a little too cool. I mean, I really don't like going out in the cold weather. No, those could be realities. But the person who's tired will say, well, I'm going to go get my money and come back home and go to sleep. Person whose car is not working, they call somebody over, they get the train, they get the bus, they get taxi, but they make sure that they get there before 12 o'clock. Because it is important. So when something is really important to us, we find a way to put it into our schedule until we're able to be about that or have it. So often, the path of bhakti is not to that degree important for many people. And so when they have these genuine challenges, problems, setbacks, they allow that to cause them not to pursue the attainment of the goal. And that is a sign of their own weakness, actually. Or it's a sign of a lack of authentic, potent desire to be able to experience it. And Krishna allows Maya to present all kinds of allurements, because that is Maya's duty to qualify each individual to see how much we are really ready for eternal, animated, enduring knowledge and love. And so before we are able to have such, we have to want it more than anything else. Because that is the level of absorption and intensity of those who are outside of the amnesia. They don't want anything that is secondary, but they want the top one. So one way to help us with that is Krishna's appearing in the Archa Vigraha, where we can, in the material world, gradually begin to keep in a meditation of putting Krishna in the center. Like, it's so nice to have these nice deities of Gaudiya Thai. Even though they have this little place, you got these nice, beautiful deities. So here, or if you have in your home, or if we have in the temple, that we distinctly understand that this is the property of the Lord, and we are the stewards or the caretakers. And so this is the practice, where gradually it comes to a point that is just natural for everyone as we become freed of the attachment to that which is secondary. I want you all to think for a minute. Think about the first time that you saw deity. Maybe the first time you came into a temple or you came to someone's home. And there you were, thinking that you were seeing the Lord, but actually the Lord was seeing you. Because when we have the darshan, we are thinking we're seeing the Lord, but actually we are being seen in and out. The divine couple is seeing, oh, how much are you really ready to come back and to associate with us in this eternal romance? Oh, still crazy. Curtains open. Even more crazy this week than you were last week. Radharani is saying, she has, you know, these different mulas, right? And usually she has this mula like this. She's checking everybody out. She's stopping those for engaging nonsense. Hold it now. Don't bring that to my Krishna. And where there is a blessing, she is. Where there is devotion, he is giving out the blessing. This next time, once the next time you can see the deity, most times you see that Swata Radharani has this merciful look. She's posturing, you know, in that mula. Sometimes hands are just, usually she's in this kind of mula. So we are having a chance now to be processed. But you think about the times that your first encounter with the deity. And many of you will remember how that first encounter, that your consciousness transcended. You didn't know what was going on in that room. You didn't know what you were going to expect. And there you open the door and you see these merchants. And all of a sudden, some flashback or some very powerful connection from the heart, some great desire to try to understand more, some feeling that, oh, now you are in the right place at the right time. And many people just find themselves crying, men as well as women. They don't know what is happening, but they know something is going on that's quite awesome. Because the soul is making this connection. And the soul, having wandered for so many, many lifetimes, and especially where there's a certain amount of strong sukriti or jnana sukriti, credits from previous lifetimes, where one is now really ready to try to become a Sudha Bhakti as much as possible in this particular existence. Then it's like being stranded or lost in the desert. And all of a sudden you see the source of your rescue. Let me just ask some of you. How many of you, first time you saw the deity, you distinctly had a quite emotional experience? vision. Hmm? Now, just consider, it's about 7-8 of you. Just consider, there are other people who come in and they see the deity and they run out. Huh? There are some people who see the deity and they run out of the door to get away. What is the last thing a criminal wants to see? Please. Huh? So the people, their lifestyle is so devious. Their mindset is so criminal. That just seeing Krishna standing there, because they're thinking that they should be on that altar, and seeing that there is really a supreme, that their subconscious becomes so angry and so disturbed. You've seen that there's some people who see a picture of the deities and they just feel an immediate attraction. Other people, they see and they get disturbed. We explained to the devotees once when we were traveling with the library party and we were selling Prabhupada's books to universities all around the world. So many times we only have a few seconds, a few minutes practically, not seconds, but a few minutes, with one professor or librarian or head of a museum. And in that little 2 or 3 minute encounter, that person was going to make a decision for 50,000, sometimes 60,000, because some of the schools are very big, but people do have ability to have Prabhupada's books or not. So we have to do amazing song and dance in that little time. Or we're praying and trying all kinds of things. Or sometimes that Indologist, professor of Sanskrit, was going to make the decision. So we had to know real quick if this guy was pious or whether he was rather demonic. I mean, think about it. It's not an accident that somebody is writing and thinking on a regular basis about Krishna's pastime or about the Goswami. For somebody to come that close, often they are quite pious or they're fallen Brahmins from previous life and they just have this natural attraction, even though they can't follow the culture, but their mind is just so much involved and they're just thinking about Krishna and thinking about the Goswami and they're reading the works in their original languages. Or they are so empowered for destruction that they have come so close to Krishna, to the culture of bhakti, just to scatter it. Because to your biggest adversaries, like in war, the biggest adversaries, the most powerful, are not those who are in the uniform, who posture themselves as the enemy, but the most trained warrior is one who is commissioned to do espionage. Because they enter into the most dangerous environment, they tend to be like that, while they have ulterior motives. So some of the biggest demons are often those who even enter into spiritual groups and they create misconceptions or they take advantage of people's hunger for spiritual acceleration and they just try to take them the opposite way. Or they get them to a point where they confuse them and so that they begin to even hate, you know, pursuance of God. So we find that these kind of people were often in the Sanskrit department, one or the other. And we had to know quickly. So one of the things we would do, as we would talk to them the first minute, we'd open up the book, open up the Bhagavatam, Krishna book, and we would focus it in such a way that their eyes would have to gaze upon the picture of Krishna. It was so revealing. Sometimes people, they were so pious. While we were talking, they would literally take the book out of our hand, start looking at the picture, start going through other pictures. The soul would just make a contact. Other times, people were so sinful. We hold the book up like that, and they would either push the book away from us or take it and close it. And when they close it like that, we were like, uh-oh. Got a big demon here. And we would structure our conversation totally different, knowing that we got somebody who has no interest in the actual culture of devotion, but is only trying to be God or have the gyan, the knowledge, and in some cases, just to create havoc. So, For so many of you, when you saw the deity, you felt such a strong attraction. Some of you, first time you saw Srila Prabhupada, heard his voice. Some cases you saw your own guru. First time you saw them, something just connected. Some of you were dreaming about the devotees, dreaming about your guru before you physically saw him. How many of you had that experience? That you actually saw the devotee, you saw Krishna, you saw Srila Prabhupada in a dream, and then one day you actually saw the devotee, or you saw Krishna, or you saw Prabhupada, or your guru physically. Anyone had that experience? Three or four. So you realize that when you saw them physically, you distinctly knew that there was something powerfully, categorically there for you. And this has to do with your own quality. But for someone who is very sinful, they see anything connected with the Lord, Nama, Guna, Rupa, Leela, any of these things, hear the Lord's name, his form, connect with his pastime, any of these things is a botheration. And sometimes people become even angry. So Krishna arranges to descend in his Archa-Vigraha as a way to make himself available so that it helps to rekindle our dormant consciousness for those who really want to know him. And for others, one of the reasons at our temples we have gates, we have fences, and we lock the altar room, because that same Krishna will be a disturbance to someone who's possessed or someone who has demonic consciousness. We've had cases in different places where people come and try to ransack our temple, even try to break the deity. Why someone sees the deity and is crying and feels overwhelming love and overwhelming concern to try to know more about what this culture of devotion is, and someone else runs out of the room, runs away, or someone else becomes even angry. It all has to do with the degree. It has to do with our own adhikar. It has to do with our own consciousness, sadhachar, or character, good character, or lack of proper character. So we are having the chance to be viewed by the Lord constantly, by our own deity, the deity in the temple. We're having a chance to be blessed constantly. And we're having a chance to be reminded that Krishna is available, and there is personal reciprocation. Yeah. And so we are acting out that by dressing him, by feeding, by chanting to him, and by having certain festivals and celebrations, we give great collective attention in that way. And so gradually the consciousness begins to rise. So this is being mindful in such ways. One or two other short things, and we'll go upstairs. About a year and a half ago, I was on a 35, 40 or so country world tour. And I always wanted to go to this one country that I never had a chance to go to. This was Bali. Some of you may have seen some catalogs, or maybe some of you have been there. But it's like such such a colorful place. Huh? So much rich culture and whatnot. And I was always wanting to go there. So, some months back, I went there, went to the temples and to our devotee temples. And the temple president asked me, he says, Maharaj, you want to go visit some of the important sites and important temples in the country? And I said, yes, definitely, I'd like to see culture. Because they have plays of the Ramayana going on, and they have, even in the downtown area, they have these huge statues of Arjuna, big statues, almost big as a house, Bhima, just in the city, just as you drive around. And you see people going to temples, they're all dressed up and they're carrying fruits and things, and it's just all over. And people on the roads just praying, amazing place. And any of you have been there before? Did it bother anybody? You ever get a chance, go there. It's like another world, another dimension. Almost. Now, an interesting thing that happened is that the devotees took me to one of the most famous temples, one or two of them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful building. And you know, you have to park your car, and then you get the track, you know. And you go from the first layer to the next. You get all the way to the top, and you go into this amazing, you know, you go to the top level, and everything is so beautiful and so ancient. It just puts you, makes you think about how amazing things. And then you walk in into the last place, the last room, and what happens? And you're just ready to just gaze upon something most wonderfully, most wonderful, and there's no deity. And you think, what's going on here? This beautiful construct. And people have put, you know, so much years and years, and people have died trying to build this thing. And then you get to the main place, main temple, the main hall, and there's nothing. But a devotee is like, oh. You know, you think you're going to see someone who you really care about, and you're just anticipating, and you finally, you know that they're in that room, and you go, and nobody's there. Well, because of Smarta Brahmana, the impersonalism has seeped in. So all the main temples, the main places, you know, you see this, you know, you see some altar or something and some huge om. And you see all this gorgeous, you see all this gorgeous construct for this om. And you realize something is missing. Because the deity, we're really much more connected than we realize. You know, one way to consider that, say a wonderful temple here in Boston, huh? Now tomorrow, when you go there, if the altar opened and there were no deities there, the entire temple would be totally different. That entire temple room would not have any other kind of potency that you're used to experiencing unconsciously when you enter into that environment. Everything else is there, but the deity not being there, you would immediately have a small impression of realizing how much you're more advanced than you think, how much you have affection for the Lord more than you realize. Sometimes we don't realize until it's taken away. Sometimes we don't realize how much we really need devotees until we're in a situation where we don't have any association and no way of getting it. It's like we take, you know, relationships for granted, and one day you don't have it, it makes you realize a little more how important it is. So we have much more. We're already becoming freed of a lot of the amnesia by having darshan of the Lord in so many different instances and thinking of Krishna in different ways. Even our chanting, you may think you have no attraction to the holy name. Often we think that way because we kind of feel that way sometimes. The duality of the material world, some days our chanting is better than other days, some days it's very rough. But how many of you have found that there are times when you are not physically chanting on your beads? Say you are daydreaming or you are sleeping or you're nodding, and you are hearing yourself chant, you're hearing the mantra going on, even though you're not physically chanting. How many have had that experience? So here, you're not even physically, more than happy, 3/4, you're not even physically chanting. But the mantra is already beginning to vibrate in your innermost consciousness. And we're thinking, oh, this chanting is just such a task. Here it goes. Four more rounds are finished. But it is, you know, it becomes like work. But when you realize what is really happening, and we think about the chanting, is a chance that we have our own email fax connection with the spiritual world. So that we should not see it as like just duty or task. But here, it doesn't cost anything, and you can connect with the Lord anytime for solace, for connection, just by chanting the mantra. We look at it like that, we think, wow, in any situation, any environment, I can call and connect with the divine couple. When you call somebody on your phone, it's not all the time that you see or hear them right away. Some communications are, you can see the person while you're talking, you're on a computer. But it's not even on the phone. It's not always that you hear. Sometimes there's a bad connection, and they can hear you, but you can't hear them. So our present state, in most cases of evolution, we do not hear what is going on with the connection, but we are being heard and we are being seen. And so you know that they're there, but you keep speaking, realizing that they're hearing you. Now, imagine that somebody who really, really cares for you, and that any moment that you want, you can just step to the side and you can connect with that person. What amazing sense of solace. This is what we are having by this japa mala, that we have this ability at any moment to be able to access Krishna. We think that way, then the whole experience becomes so wonderful and so personal, something that we become excited for an opportunity now to call on the Lord. So last thing, so that was interesting, you know, it was such a down. For all those years I wanted to go to Bali, and I saw all of these, you know, people in wonderful costumes and wonderful, you know, plays and everything, videos, and I saw some while I was there, and downtown and around the city, you see all of these, you see Arjuna, you see Bhishma, you see Yudhishthira, you see all of these, and you think, what amazing culture, Krishna consciousness, existing now. Then you go to the most sacred places, these beautiful temples that have been kept for, you know, hundreds of years, and now they've taken the deities out. Kathy, let me give you one short story. And there's one beautiful story of a devotee named Sri Raghunanda Thakur. He was a young boy and had a very devotional father and mother. So they each day would engage in puja, the deity. Very, very religiously. Everything was kept centered, you know, around the deity. So as Raghunanda became of age, his father gave him Brahmin initiation. But he hadn't had a chance to do any personal deity service himself. Just kept Brahmin just recently. But his father had to go out and do something at around the time that it was necessary to engage in some deity puja, to offer the boga to the deity through the arti. So he asked his son had seen him do it before, and he asked his son, you know, you're a Brahmin now, you take care of the murti of the deities. So the mother, she prepared the boga, put it on the plate, she gave it to her little son, and he took it behind the curtain, and he put the boga there, and started ringing the bell and praying. And he opened up one eye. He was free. And he saw the food was still there. And he closed the eye and he kept ringing and praying. Opened up again. The boga was still there. So he was in such anxiety. He was thinking, this is my first time doing the service. My father's depending on me. My mother has made, you know, the boga. And I'm offering it and you won't take it. And he was crying, he said, please come take the food. And so he closed his eyes again, he ran. And then the food was all gone. So he just came out smiling. He had done his work, his joy service. He brought the tray out, gave it to his mother. His mother looked at him. Couldn't believe it. She was speechless. Wait till the father came home. She said, what did we do wrong? We followed all the samskaras. We were kind to the brahmanas. We always made our obeisances to the sadhus, to worship Krishna. But how did we get such a rascal son? Father said, what happened? She said, you wouldn't believe it. After I prepared the food, rascal son was back there and ate the Lord's food. Ate the Lord's food. The father was shocked because they were so devotional. Everything was so centered around the deity. They were thinking, how do we get this imbecile rascal son? So father then thought, yes, the son, what happened? What did you do? And the son explained how the mother gave him the boga. He came in, he also put it there. And he tried and tried, and first the Lord wouldn't take. And so then, after the third time, he made his prayer very intensely, the Lord took his whole step. So the father realized, son had never lied to him before. So why is he lying now? He said, maybe he's not lying. He said, told his wife, you cook again. She prepared again. Told his son, do the same thing you did before. He's watching to see, what did this boy do? So, he did the same thing. He put the boga down. And now because of the excitement, he was even more intense. And he made very intense prayer. And the father himself saw. The Lord took the food. Physical aspect had disappeared also. And the father realized that it was the opposite. That it wasn't that he had a wrathful son. But because they were so devotional themselves, they brought forth this very empowered entity. And the child explained that Sri Raghunanda at the core is actually Vajumana avatar, avatar of Krishna, Vajumana. And he had entered, that aspect of Krishna had entered into this womb of this wonderful lady because of her intense devotion of her husband. So the atmosphere was probably not different than the spiritual world. That they were void of amnesia, even though they were in this realm, they were so fixed in their devotion, so fixed in their dedication, that they brought forth this such empowered being. And Vajumana avatar had such amazing spiritual shakti and potency that in his later years, every day, two flowers would just blossom outside his yard. He could just pick and offer to his deity. So in conclusion, we want to remind ourselves that the deity is not just statue, it's not just brass, it's not just marble. Yeah, that's part of what is manifesting for us to be able to focus on. But here, we have our most amazing connection with the spiritual world. Through Krishna manifesting his archa vigraha form. So that we can practice being able to put Krishna more in the center. We can practice realizing how much the Lord is there for us, how much we can do something and get reciprocation. We can practice realizing that this is a personal a pursuit. We're not just conceptualizing the Godhead, the energy of the God, the Shakti, but we are tuning in to the Shakti Mama. And also to remind us what we all are experiencing so that we can go deeper and deeper. We have all had experiences when we come into the temple room and it looks like the deity is frowning at us. We've all had experiences when we come into the temple room and it looks like the deity is smiling directly at us. And we look at what's going on in our life and we see why we think the deity is frowning. And we see when we have a nice consciousness that we feel so much more reciprocation. Because it is just that. It is personal. And we are responding with this on a more of a subconscious level. So we want to come to a point where literally that Krishna standing there, or Gaunitai, or Jagannath, we realize that they're not standing. That we hear Krishna's flute. Krishna, Prabhupada said Krishna wants to dance with us. Krishna wants us to eat with him. It is not that we see the deity that's installed on the temple. It's not that the deity is just standing. The deity is standing seemingly based on our amnesia. That there's less and less amnesia can begin to enter more and more into the transcendental realm. And that's why that the pure devotees, when they come in contact with Krishna's Nama Rupa Leela, that for them, they have to hold back what they are actually feeling. They have to tune themselves down so that they can act so somewhat normal in the material scheme of things. And so they are just trying to be more accessible for us to enter into our environment, our mental space, to help us be totally free of our amnesia. If these great devotees would act how they normally feel, we'd think they were mad because they would just be in ecstasy. They would be totally abnormal, abnormal because their bhakti would not be able to contain what the soul is experiencing. And sometimes when the pure devotee enters into a slight trance, is that the emotion that one is experiencing, the body is not able to cope with it. And so like the body just goes unconscious. The body is put aside. So it says how when a pure devotee faints, pure devotee connects or enters into the spiritual world. And we've seen sometimes Prabhupada would normally refrain or try to hold it back. But we see sometimes Prabhupada chanting Jai Radha Madhava, Prabhupada chanting the deity, and his tears just shoot from his eyes, or his color would just change, and he would just go unconscious, for lack of a better word, he would go into trance. And then he'd bring himself back. It means that the body, what is happening with one's natural state of existence, because purity is natural, and being impure is unnatural state. So that is not just for one or a special category of people, that is the natural condition of every living entity. To be totally enraptured love and experiencing the bhava and the ecstasy. And to the degree we still hold on to the amnesia, to the degree that we actually cheat ourselves from the higher experience. So our sadhu sangha is somehow to help remind us about the great treasure that's available for each of us. So like today we have this wonderful opportunity to receive the Lord coming in this manifestation of Gaura Nithai, and the family that's going to center their lives around trying to serve their Shivas and the deities in our own homes or in our temple. Let's remind ourselves every time that we are gazing for the darshan, greeting of the deities, or darshan in our temples or whatnot, we remind ourselves this is a special expression of Krishna's mercy. So that it can reach out in these mature prisons and connect us with animated love, knowledge, and also eternality. His confound the child, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ki. Maybe somebody can check upstairs and see if the lady's address. Are they ready?
Okay. So let us Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Ki.
So maybe I'll take just two short questions and then we will go up and we will have darshan with the Lord. And we'll remind ourselves that he's really, they're really looking at us. Yes.
Maharaj, I wanted to ask, when you go to the temple, there's still the potency of the deity, the purity of the deity that you worship. And myself and my husband are deities that I only worship them every day. But, and I've been a pujari for 10 years, but it's never the same as the temple. And I was wondering, why is that and how can you make it? I mean, and although you may do your offering and puja over there still, but never
quite the same. You hear that? She said how she has her own deities, but in the temple it's different. She finds that there's more potency in the temple. But that's natural, because the more affection, the more care, the more it amplifies, you know, the bhakti. It's like some temples you go to and you feel somehow a dryness because offenses are being made on a grand scale. Sometimes the offenses are so serious that the deity leaves. We've had temples that have caught on fire, have gotten robbed, because the deity has gone, offenses are being made, you know, to the deity, and Krishna revealed it in certain ways, extreme in that sense. We shouldn't feel any intimidation or shyness if we don't feel the same reciprocation, you know, with our home deity. Because the temple is a place where there is so much more collective focus and worship. And therefore, when any of us move around, move about, wherever we go, we're also walking into a force field based on the collective consciousness. And in our home, we have so many things going on, along with our puja, but the temple room, in general, is just designed only for worship. Even if people are talking, you know, they kind of have to go out, you know, or they feel they shouldn't be talking so much, small talk. And so basically, if you think about it, the temple is a place where class is going on, bhajan, kirtan, darshan. So most temples, pretty much, you know, that's the focus. Sometimes you have to take us out in the temple, but even that, you're worshiping, you know, the Lord. So it is quite concentrated in that sense. And it should be, it should have a higher potency. But still, in our own personal deities at home, we can feel very happy and honored. We can take care of the Lord, you know, in that personal way. One last question. How many of you have deities in your own home? Wonderful. Think about the power, what Prabhupada did on this planet. You think of all the different countries, then the cities, the houses, and there's so many places where now people have deities installed, or our home deities. Mm-hmm. That in itself is making a silent revolution, because there's so many pockets or so many keys that are properly used and open up a window or door to the spiritual world. And this is one of the things that makes us so different from just metaphysical groups, esoteric societies, and personal yoga organizations. They often have more knowledge. They, in many cases, have a better economic situation. Sometimes have a stronger social structure. And all that may be there, which we should definitely work on in our own society. But after everything is said and done, the deity is not there. The ultimate object of what the goal is, practically 99.5% of us would not feel happy knowing that an ultimate goal is lack of relationship. But for many, many millions of people, they're okay with that. The ultimate goal to merge into, you know, samadhi or cosmic awareness, or to experience the universal intelligence, or the allness, universal sound. For us, it just doesn't fit, because we've been touched by the presence of the deity. And in many cases, people have done those things in the past, and so Krishna is giving them a chance to know him now. Now the real work begins. But still, as we said, some people, they only want to go so far. And so they will allow themselves to stop accessing, you know, their devotion. The issues are real, but as we said earlier, it's something you really want. And even though there are obstacles, you don't let them check you. You bounce right back. You find a way to get your computer, get your sari, find a way to get your $20,000. We have to have at least that much or more determination and greed. And where we don't, we can't really blame the environment, because Krishna allows Maya to do such. Some of these things must one. Some of these things are directly arranged even also by the acharya. Because no one can get in a healthy situation, you can't get the certificate without being presented with the test. And as you're given the test, if you're not prepared, it's overwhelming. You complain, you get mad at the teacher. Why don't you got a test this all the time? But all kind of things, you know. But if you have studied and you've taken this course serious, then the test comes, you're thinking, wow, I'm going to finish this by this afternoon, and tomorrow or next week I'll have my diploma. And so when we are properly situated, the adventures and the challenges become a form of happiness, because we realize this is part of the maturation. This is part of a chance for acceleration. This is a chance for proper certification. If you look at the lives of any of the great acharyas, and what they had to undergo is dozens of times more than what any of the challenges that any of us will have. But they do that so that us see what it takes, what's necessary. Give one last example. We look at, and we'll stop here. Look at Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when he takes sannyasa related to Gaura Vaibhava, he's coming to do his major work for the whole universe or universes, and he gets heart attack. His main duties was establishing and printing books. And we see that initially he had to write his own book. He had to get the money for his own book. He had to distribute his own book. Did Krishna make it easy for him? He was showing us for our benefit. When he came to New York, that for quite some time he couldn't even make any serious devotees. Being harassed by crazy typewriter, major things he needs to do his work being stolen. Most of us would say, hold it now. Enough of Krishna, let me chant Om Namo Shivaya. Some of the Krishna stuff. And instead of you making it so difficult, or do something else. But no, it continues. And Prabhupada had sickly body also. And sugar and beetus and a few other things. So it wasn't that, and this is the way to help us to see what is the nature of the material prison and why determination is so important. You won't have to experience anything. Take just other traditions. Jesus being crucified. We don't think of ever encountering something like that. Muhammad, Buddha, they're being harassed. Buddha was being harassed by the Orthodox Samantana Brahmana. Muhammad had to run so many times for his life. Poison attempts on him. Assassination attempts. Bodhisattva, assassination attempts. You should have brought Prabhupada up. So, when found some poison snakes in Prabhupada's bathroom in Mayapur, Prabhupada said that some people were trying to kill him. Some bogus sadhus. So, when we see, whether we're talking about the Pandavas, or we're talking about in our own immediate line, we realize what we undergo ourselves as we do our own struggle is expected. Anyway, we'll talk more about some of these things tomorrow. I'll be with you for a couple of days. You have to tolerate me for a few more days. I'm here, I guess, until Tuesday. I have to go travel tomorrow, but I'll be back in time for the Sunday class. And then I'll have to do, I think, the Monday Bhagavatam, Tuesday Bhagavatam class, if you allow me. Okay. So let's go and have darshan of Gaudiya Thai. Start from the child of Srirupati. We're going to have a short arti and prasadam upstairs.